I hand over tonight to our first speaker, who is Matthew.
Thanks, Charlotte.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matthew. I'm an addict. Check 1, 2, mic check. I always wanted to do that, actually. Can't quite believe I'm sitting in this meeting. I remember coming to this meeting a couple of years ago when I first came in. It was one of the first meetings I came to because my sponsor harassed me to the point where I couldn't really say no, and I remember thinking, God, you know, it's a really good excuse to stop coming to these meetings, because, you know, if I keep coming, I'm going to have to do this one day. And it's funny how it works out, because I'm here now. So, yeah. Just goes to show you don't really know what's going to happen in the future. But, I'm 2 years clean this week. Start off on a high note and then get progressively darker. It's been an interesting couple of years. I haven't, I haven't taken to this like a duck to water. Having said that, I've been clean since I come to my first meeting. I've got clean in the rooms, so it works. You know, it's just my thinking, the way that I approach life is very resistant in a lot of ways to a lot of things, including recovery. So it's been a kind of rocky road for me. That said, it's worked. I'm clean. You know. That's the bottom line is I'm clean, and I'm really proud to say that, actually. It's a proud moment. I didn't really think I'd make it this far, to be honest. Anyway, just a little bit about myself, my using. I picked up when I was 11. So my brother and sister are much older than me, and they were using a lot of drugs. They did, you know, as far as I've known them, and their whole life they used heavily. And it was kind of a monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. And I wasn't discouraged either. There was a lot of weed knocking around and amphetamines and acid and stuff. And they were pretty wily. My family's kind of... I come from an interesting, sort of culturally interesting family. And it's a mixed-race family. I was born in New Zealand and my brother and sister were Maori. So there was this kind of like... They were very heavily Maori culturally, you know. And I wasn't, obviously. So they were much older than me. And I kind of like, you know, I was intimidated by them and frightened in a way by them, because their lifestyles were pretty wild and there was a lot of violence and stuff. And I just, you know, it was an easy way, it was a direct analogue between me and my older siblings, really, to get high with them. And as I said, I was invited to do so I did, and that sort of started me off, really. I remember before, having moved around quite a lot when I was a kid, classic story here, quite a lot in the rooms, you know, people kind of put people's environment changing quite a lot. I sort of would do anything that I could to try and fit in with people, because I quite often felt like I didn't, and I still feel like that today, actually. So drugs were kind of like the golden ticket, really, you know, and I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin, or socially didn't feel very comfortable. It was a shortcut to feeling comfortable and feeling a sense of belonging. And I learned that lesson pretty early on, really, and very quickly sort of progressed up the hierarchy of chemicals, as a lot of us do through my teens. Smoked a hell of a lot of weed every day, you know. I was a daily dope smoker from 12 years old for the next sort of 15, 20 years, really. And sort of classic stuff. I don't think it's not really sort of standout, you know, kind of progress onto amphetamines and ecstasy and cocaine and whatever. It doesn't really matter what the prescription was. The point is, looking back on it, I can see quite clearly that as soon as I took that first drug and I experienced drug taking, then the brakes were off, you know, for the next... I'm 37 now, so my maths is pretty bad, but, you know, that's over 20 years of using. Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to sort of look at my teenage years and my drug taking very clearly, because it's a time when, like, hormones are taking over, and like, that's kind of what you're expected to do when you're a teenager, and, that, you know, that's what all my contemporaries, my peers were doing. That's what most of the teenagers I know now are doing. It's, you know, it's nothing unusual about it. But as I progressed, as I got older and into my 20s and life got a bit more real, it became more and more difficult for me to sustain my drug use and live a kind of relatively normal existence. Sort of started to live a double life, really, you know. Other people I'd be working with would go home and get some sleep and do it all again tomorrow, whereas I'd go out and hang out with a completely different set of people and then and then come in and try and function on no sleep and all that kind of business. And that carried on for a really long time. And while I had the energy for it, and I kind of attached a certain amount, I thought it was kind of enigmatic, you know, to live like that. But as time progressed and I kind of ran out of energy, I started to burn out. And I guess in a kind of, as much as I could mature in that stupor, I could kind of see that it wasn't really doing me any favours, because I lost every job I ever had, you know, lots of relationships breaking down, my health started to deteriorate, all these things. But none of that was really, brought me to the place where I made a decision to get clean, or, you know, it was always in the back of my mind, or I was kind of like, after a bender, I'd be like, yeah, I really want to get clean, but it would never happen. And I tried the sort of classic, I tried to throw myself in a relationship, and, well, various times that didn't really do it. Tried moving to Brazil, stopped taking cocaine, didn't work out so well. Came back with a pretty hefty crack habit. You know, it's the madness was running quite rampant, really. And things just become more and more chaotic, more and more unmanageable. I mean, I'm a person, I've had lots of opportunities in the sense that, like, you know, I didn't grow up with opportunity, but I've made a lot of opportunities for myself. And I'm quite surprised that I managed to do that for myself while I was, you know, came from nothing, and I forged a kind of, just hustled a career together for myself. I'd worked throughout all of my using, I worked, but I time and time again, I would, someone would invest their time and hopes in me, and I would break promises and I wouldn't show up, and I was, you know, irresponsible. So, yeah, it was like I had all of these things on a plate, and I took it for granted, and I kind of sabotaged anything that came my way, really. Whether I did it overnight or whether it took me a good couple of years in slow and steady sabotage, that's what I did. And I could never really, you know, I would kind of always blame the drugs or blame the late nights or blame the girlfriend and point the finger of blame everywhere, really, without really... I mean, I'd be pretty hard on myself, but in a kind of... In a masochistic sort of way, not a very constructive way, I would always know that it was my fault, but I wouldn't take accountability for it. I would just blame myself and hate on myself for it, which wasn't very constructive. Anyway, this carried on for years and years, and I guess fast forward a little bit to 2 years ago when I came into this room. That was quick. I'd reached some sort of level of despair that I wasn't happy to carry on enduring, really. My health was suffering, I was sleeping on different sofas and different people's beds, and, you know, I wasn't doing so well, but I was kind of working, and anyway, I had no money. I wasn't on death's door, I could have carried on, you know, but the point was that I'd paid the price of my happiness. I was desperately unhappy. And I knew that I'd hit a wall, and I didn't want to be unhappy anymore. And that's what brought me in here, really. And as I said, it's been quite a rocky road, in the sense that it was difficult for me to surrender. I wasn't up for putting my hands in the air and throwing the towel in. I had to be wrestled to the ground, and a long 6 months with this man over here, enduring endless conversations with me. Probably wouldn't make much sense at the time, but I'm here, you know. I guess it's difficult to try and convey a message, and I'm not, like, you know, the kind of person who finds speaking in public very easy. It's not something that is counterintuitive for me. I'm quite a private person, unless I've got the opportunity to edit the material before I display it, and in this situation I don't. But, you know, the message I guess I want to come here today with is that, like, I didn't think I was the last person I'd think would get clean, because I'm an arch cynic. I don't buy into all this cosmic business, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm cynical. It's worked for me. And life's been really difficult. The last 3 or 4 months alone, I've lost my brother and sister. They both died within a 3 or 4 month period. I'm not telling you that out of a want for kind of trying to get some sympathy or out of self-pity. It's because I'm telling you because I haven't picked up. And I think it's a valuable lesson for everyone, for me, you know. I always thought that I used because certain things had happened to me when I was growing up. My dad was always in prison, or my mum was drunk, or this, or I'd lost a good friend at, you know, a tender age of 13, and all these kind of things. I experienced a lot of things early which really shook my foundations, and I always thought that informed my using. In the later stage of my using, I thought I blamed it on my dad having dementia and I couldn't handle it and I had to medicate. But, you know, I didn't have to use for all of that. I just didn't realise I didn't have to use. I just thought it was my only option, you know. And for, I guess, for anyone... How long have I got? For anyone here that's just walked in, my impression of these rooms, and this one particularly because it's such a large room, I mean, I get nervous sitting in this room now, 2 years later, when I'm not even here to speak, when I'm just listening. I come in and I have a minor meltdown about it. And also, like, you know, similarities, not the differences. I come in and I eye everyone up and I make comparisons and I tell myself I don't belong here. But it's self-deceit, really. You know, it's I'm spinning myself these stories to try and convince myself that it's okay to go out there, you know. But I know now that it's not, because I don't, you know, it's not like I've handed my whole will and life over to this kind of strange cult and, like, I have to call my sponsor and ask him whether it's okay to have breakfast, you know. But, like, with the big decisions that relate to me harming myself, I've realised that it's quite important to hand those decisions over, or at least make them in conjunction with someone else, because left to my own devices, I don't make very good decisions for myself, you know. My intuition will lead me down some very dark roads, and... yeah, I don't know really how much what I've said is, you know, whether there's much value to what I've said this evening, but just to break it down to its basic components is that, like, there's so much more to life than battering yourself around the head with drugs and alcohol daily. There's so much more, you know. I think one of the first questions I ask myself, and that people ask me all the time, is like, what do you do then? You know, if you stop taking drugs, you stop drinking, what on earth do you do? And you know what I do? All the things I sat around talking about doing, all the things I wanted to do, and all the things I was too scared to try and do. You know? Yeah, I might sometimes walk, and especially, you know, on the way here, I'm seeing all these people knock off work, or like an attractive woman outside a bar, having a fag on her own. I'm thinking, yeah, it'd be nice to just be, you know, to have, again, that shortcut to belonging, to be able to pick up a drink and immediately gain self-confidence that I don't have naturally, and just switch off to oblivion. But, like, you know, I'm fully aware of the consequences of that now, whereas before I had some sort of amnesia where I just do it over and over again, make the same mistakes, and it just... You know, it brought me here. It brought me here, but thank God it did. Thank God it did, because I really firmly believe I just would have been out there just carrying on doing the same thing day in, day out. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much, everybody.